Hello, this is the Library Talker, also known as the Library Lady. I'm Library Talker on Blogspot at librarytalker.blogspot.com, and I'm the Library Lady on Podomatic, where this podcast is currently hosted. So today, I'm going over a book I found just randomly on the shelf and went, ooh, because I am a major Jane Eyre fan. Of all the classics that are out there, Jane Eyre is my jam. So I love Jane Eyre. I've reread it quite a few times. Yes, there are problems with it, but it's awesome. I cannot, however, get through Wuthering Heights. I know it's about the same man. I know Rochester and Heathcliff are the same guy, but Wuthering Heights is not, I couldn't, no. So Jane Edwards mine, you know, that seems to be kind of the Bronte thing, is you either love or hate one or the other. So if you love one, you hate the other type of thing. I don't know many people who appreciate both very well or definitely love both. And I know there is another Bronte out there, but hers, unfortunately, doesn't get a lot of credit either. But anyway, so Jane Eyre being my jam, I found this book that was published back in March called Jane and Edward, A Modern Reimagining of Jane Eyre by Melody Edwards. So this is a modern day. It's set more recently. It feels like it was meant to be printed a few years ago because some of the dates in it are like, oh, this is the, you know, 2018 or whatever. So it's kind of like, but it's pretty, like, it works. It's not perfect. It has its issues. But then again, Jane Eyre itself wasn't perfect, had its issues. So what we have here is, instead of being raised by an aunt and the Red Room and all other stuff, we have Jane, whose father was basically like an English literature professor, and was very well known, Professor Rain. He was very, very well known, but one day he unfortunately just kind of died. And she was like 11 or 13 or something. And so she was kind of messed up and screwed over by the dean of the university, who was like, oh, I'm sorry, we don't have anybody who can take you in, and you don't have any family, and okay, foster system for you. So she went into foster care and has been kind of, you know, struggling. She eventually made it through foster care to 18. She then became like a waitress and has worked the last many years as a waitress, just trying to get by and live in kind of cruddy conditions, but just getting through. Missing her dad, of course, her mom long since gone, of course, and then just, you know, trying to get through. And she overhears some of the other staff at the diner that she works at talking about taking some courses in becoming like an assistant at a law firm. So she goes and she enrolls and she takes courses, you know, while trying to also work full time and like penny pinch like crazy because life is so, you know, eh. And then she ends up being hired at a law firm. When she gets hired at a law firm, she's looking just for a minor legal secretary type role. And she ends up being put into the office of one of the owners of the law firm, and that's Edward Rowson. Edward Rowson has a major attitude adjustment need. He is always cursing, always yelling, always having problems. But they put her in there instead of an experienced person, because then maybe the idea is she wouldn't know any different. So she would just be in there and start working and think that that's the way it was supposed to be. And then he could kind of make her the assistant that he needs. And of course, because this is Jane Eyre, there's a meet cute, where there's not a horse throwing him off and everything. Instead, it's a coffee machine, and it ends up spewing coffee all over him as part of the meet cute. And aw, isn't that adorable? Because you know exactly what's going on if you know Jane Eyre. We discover there's, you know, he's really hard on everybody. He yells at everybody. But eventually she starts to see kind of the humor. She starts to see where he's coming from and kind of the kind of person he is. And she sees beyond the exterior and all other stuff. So it's all there. It's there. There's also the fact that, yes, he's married. But this is not a marriage to an insane person. This is a marriage to a woman that they needed, and they keep mentioning it over and over and over again, the Great Recession of 2008. They keep just using 2008. It was, you know, 2008 happened, 2008. So apparently the law firm and investors had made some bad decisions. 2008 came along, everything crashed, and in order to shore up the law firm and keep everything safe, Edward's dad and others came up with this plan to have him marry into this West Coast family. By the way, this is all set in Canada. Marry into this West Coast LA family, so that they could get the money. And Edward hadn't spent enough time to know that his now wife was a complete jerk. Not crazy, just evil. And so they spent their time living apart. They lived in opposite coasts in opposite countries, and just, you know, like, you stay in LA, US, and I'll stay up way over here in Canada on the other side. And of course Jane finds out the wrong way and feels like she can't be, she's not going to be protected if something happens, if, you know, she moves in with him. And yes, this is modern, so yes, they've been sleeping together. That's not described, which is good. You know, it didn't need to be that. So it's good that it didn't turn into that. But the idea is that she wants to be able to be with someone and be financially protected, because this has been her life. She has lived the last many years without any security financially at all, like 10-something years. And so she wants someone who can keep her financially secure. And so, yes, she wants the love. Yes, she does care about him. Yes, she does love him very much, and he loves her. But because of his situation, there's no way she can be guaranteed that she will be safe financially, that she will be able to make decisions for him, or he make decisions for her as they get older, all that other stuff. And of course, she does leave. So she ends up going back to her home area. She goes back to the university where it all began, in the hopes that she can talk to the dean, who was the guy who said, no, I'm sorry, we can't give you a parent. We'll stick you in foster and shove you on your way. And so she talks to the dean, and he says, yeah, sure, we'll find you a place. We'll give you a job in an office working with the other people in the department. And yeah, you can take some free classes. But he seems a little nervous. And of course, we know where this is going. She also meets Daniel. I noticed that some of the names are there. We have Adele. Adele is there. She is a friend in the law firm of Jane's. She's not a child. We have Lowood University, which is where she's going right now, instead of Lowood Academy, where she's getting starved and freezing and people are dying around her, so there's no Helen. We have all of these little things, all these little moments. And yes, she does mention Bronte's, and yes, she mentions there is a one little meta moment where she's like, yeah, I'm living it. I'm living the Charlotte Bronte story. I'm living it. That actually says I'm effing living it, actually, if I remember correctly. And so, yeah. So we have Daniel. Daniel is our St. John. I like how we're not even going to try and make people try and pronounce St. John correctly, because again, it's looks like St. John. Took me forever to find out how to pronounce that correctly. So Daniel is our St. John, and he is, his ideas are, we all know who her dad is. Everybody knows. So he wants to move further in the university and become a professor. He's very, very in serious and kind of blah. And yes, he does have his the girl that he loved, who's now getting married to someone else. It was because she was too flighty, and he needs someone serious who will help him move his career forward. Not necessarily go to India and preach, but here he wants to move his career forward, and having Jane on his arm as the descendant of this famous name, and the child of this famous professor, will help his career move forward, and professorships and all that other stuff. And of course, that's not happening to her. Now, the revelation that happens in this book is not that she and Daniel / St. John are related, that whole distant cousin thing, or that her uncle was rich and died and left her everything. No, this is the revelation that her dad's books have been getting reprinted. And because she is the child, she should be getting the money from those books being reprinted, which would be interesting, except for apparently Edwards does not understand how universities and textbook publishing works. Number one, when she goes into the, when she finally has a realization that her dad books are out there, she's looking through the stores, looking through the university stores, bookstores, to see the things. And the first price that's printed is $20.99. One, this is Canada. That's not going to happen no matter what. And two, textbooks at $20.99. And later, as she says, and they're not cheap. I'm sorry. No. All of the books that she listed, $22.99, another for $14.50, another for $25.99. No, textbooks for university courses are never the regular price of books in a Barnes & Noble. They are hundreds of dollars. So there's that problem. But the idea that she gets money from it is also a problem, because if he's published this with his university, if he is a published tenured professor, then the books are the property of the university, not the dad. He might get a tiny, tiny profit off of it, but they don't make any money. And I know this from a professor who I used to work with, who has a number of books published, and she's like, I don't get anything. This is, you know, the one of the reasons that professors have to publish is so that the university can get the money from it. The university gets the money automatically. And so the idea that the dean has been profiting off of all of these things, that the university has been profiting off of all of these things, and that somehow she turns out, if she does this lawsuit, she'll get money and she'll be wealthy and she'll be financially secure, is BS. So there needs to be some research done on this. Unless something is drastically changed in the last couple of years, I'm just sitting here saying, heck no, that's just not possible. I'm sorry. Textbooks cost over $100 at least for every course. That's just a given. And the money goes to the textbook publishers first and foremost, then to the university that housed the professor or the person who wrote the textbook. They get the money, but most of it, of course, goes to the publishing house. And this whole $25 thing? No, no, no. So the suspension of disbelief and the link of the two stories and the modernizing, there's a lot going right with it, but there are things that go wrong with it. And while I loved that Edward, I liked to see more of the Edward being a little bit humorous. Edward, you can feel that kind of him being humorous with Jane, and only with Jane, and that she recognizes it as humor, where everybody else thinks it's something else. Those moments were there, and I could really, really appreciate them. But it's both a little too faithful and both not faithful enough. So it is the story. it's very much there. We miss the Lowood Academy part, you know, there's that part, but she's, I think you could put that as the being in the diner after foster care, working with things. Apparently she now hates burgers and will never ever eat a burger in her life after serving so many of them. So you've got some parallels there, and they're the modernizations, most of them make sense. But again, this idea that she is now independently wealthy because she's found out her dad's books being published at $26 in Canada that are textbooks for school and required reading, that she would become independently wealthy off of that. I don't think so. There are some issues there. So the cover is interesting. The cover does make me think more like, what if Charlotte Bronte had modern options for covers, and this is what it might look like. But it's not necessarily eye-catching. The thing that caught me was the fact that it said Jane and Edward, and my immediate thing was, oh, is that Jane Eyre? And then I read the underneath it where it said, you know, modern imagining of Jane Eyre. but yes, it was decently done, sorry. It has its moments. It has some pluses to it that make it a decent read. I'm glad it didn't get, it didn't range into more of the modern mindset of, you know, we need to have our sex scenes and stuff like that. I'm glad it kind of avoided that, but it did make it obvious we are set in a more modern era. And so, yes, they can be together, and this isn't just, you know, the more puritanical ideas of it or that kind of thing. And her reasonings make sense in terms of just, she's had so much insecurity. She needs some security in her life. Then of course the end, they do come together. For some reason now he's become a professor of law instead, and he actually kind of likes it, because there were some problems in the law firm and he ended up having to leave, and then he decided, you know, I'm just going to stay out of it. He just kept his money into it, so he's making the money, but he's now a professor instead. And so, you know, there's that life together and everything. There's no giant burning of Thornfield, although Thornfield, the name, is used as part of the partnership in his law firm, there's no burning of that. What there is the California wildfires, and that's how his wife died. Was she refused to evacuate and she died in a wildfire. So, okay. So, you know, and if you've ever read Jane Eyre, none of this is surprising. It's not like I'm doing that. If you've never read Jane Eyre, spoilers, I guess, but, this is Jane Eyre. So, you know, you should know how it's going to go and you should know how it ends. So he doesn't end up all scarred and blind and everything. They end up, you know, getting married and being together, and, he's a professor and she's doing her thing and all that other stuff, apparently making money off of textbooks that only cost like $25. But yeah, so again, it has its moments. It does a decent job. It's not perfect. And I'm waffling between 3 and 4 on this one. So on my rating scales, 1 being, oh my God, avoid, avoid, avoid traffic cones and police tape and just stay away. 5 being, this is the most amazing thing ever. 2 being, eh. 3 being, eh. And 4 being, eh. This is going between an eh and an eh. I'm having, you know, I'm not sure if I want to round up or round down. I'm going 3.5 on this, but do I want to round up or round down? I'll have to make that decision when I, hit the submit button on Goodreads. So that again is Jane and Edward, a modern reimagining of Jane Eyre by Melody Edwards. And this has been the Library Talker, also known as the Library Lady. Again, Library Talker on Blogspot, librarytalker.blogspot.com, and Library Lady lady on podcast where this, or Podomatic, where this podcast is currently hosted. If you have suggestions, comments, whatever, please feel free to share them with me. I would love to hear it. I know occasionally there's a number that goes up on Podomatic that says people are listening, but I haven't seen any comments yet. So I'm just kind of curious to know if people like what I'm posting, especially maybe want more of it, because I do not post as often as I probably should, or if you guys are just like, this is airtime filler and who cares. Anyway, I hope you all have a really great day.